to Matthew chapter number 23. Continuing talking about things we don't like to talk about. And look, last week someone said they're leaving the church, and we don't like talking about that, but we looked at it, I believe, through biblical eyes and things to look for. One of our computers that records blew up, and so we lost one of our messages, the one on hygiene. So that stinks. Or maybe someone sabotaged it. I don't know, but again, looking at different things that we don't like to talk about, we've covered a lot. But we're going to start tonight and a few weeks in the month of June looking at another topic we don't like talking about, and that is money. Money. All right, so specifically tonight we're going to look at tithing. Now, there's two types of people when I mention we're going to look at tithing tonight. There's those who are excited about it and hear another lesson on it, and those who are already need to get right with God. Amen? Tithing. I'm very thankful that tithing has always been part of my life. And that credit does not go to me. It goes to my parents and the Lord. They taught me. Even before I understood what a dollar was, my mom would tell me, "You got a dollar, a dime goes in the offering." And I was taught that from a child. There was a man in our church where I grew up. His name was Wade Chastain. And Wade Chastain, he had no, he never got married, never had children, had no brothers, sisters. And so he loved to give. And he gave me and my sister, every time we saw him, a dollar. And that was awesome. 1982, dollar could buy you a lot of stuff. And I always went and saw Wade at church, right? Not you, Wade, the other Wade, right? Wade would take my dollar. But that Wade, he'd always walk up to him. I'd say, "Hello, Brother Wade." He'd say, "Hey, hand me a dollar." That was the coolest thing ever. But my mom, every time, she goes, "All right, Travis, a dime of that goes in the offering." We put it in an envelope, and we drop it in. I obviously, as I grew up, I learned more and more about tithing, but I'm thankful I didn't have to learn about it and start doing it. It was something my parents said that we do, and it's always been part of my life. I look at Kazata Baptist Temple and know that we have a tithing church. We have a giving church. I never look at the giving statements. I do not ever glance at them. So if you think, am I preaching at you? If I am, I don't know about it. Brother Rob will sign those, a treasure, at the end of the year. Miss Lee will keep the records. But the only report that I get, and I'll just tell you this as pastor, anyone that gets a paycheck from the church in any capacity, I get a checklist of whether they tithe after they got a check. I don't need to see numbers, but I don't think it would be right to ever have someone who the church gives a check to that would rob God. And that includes our missionaries. That includes our Brother Price, Mrs. Price. It includes all of our teachers, our secretary. Every month, Tuesday, I guess, I get a report on that and say, it's not your business. As pastor, it is my business that we don't have thieves getting a paycheck from the church. Amen? And so I'm thankful to tell you that everyone has a check mark, so praise the Lord for that. Why is that so important? Because tithing is biblical. Tithing is right. There's many who struggle with tithing. They shouldn't, but they do. I have, in my life, in my 46 plus years, and growing up in church, I have seen zero believers prosper not tithing. I can't give you one example. I can tell you example after example after example of the many who give faithfully, and God has always taken care of them. God's word is absolutely true. I've had many people who have told me, and I've heard say, they can't afford to tithe. And the fact is this, they never ever become able to tithe. And that should make you stop and think about something. Say what? If you're going to rob God, you can't expect the blessings of God. I've seen people say, I can't afford to tithe, and all of a sudden they get a raise, and they say, hey, I might be able to tithe now, only to find the devourer begin to consume house and home. Because if you're not going to be faithful to God, you cannot expect the blessings of God. You see, our church is a tithing church. You just said that. Why are you preaching on it? Because I want our kids are all in here. I want them to know. Tithing is right. You don't wait till you're 30. You don't wait till you get your first job. On your birthday, somebody gives you a $5 bill, tithe. And mom and dad make sure they do. Teach them that from a child. You say, you're just after money. Nope. I'm after God's blessings upon our church. And I don't want us to be wrong in the eyes of God. So, met a lot of people, but tithes, we're going to look at tithes tonight. In the next few times we speak, we'll be looking at offerings, almsgiving, and just giving to others. And we're going to talk a lot about money and when it comes to our giving, which, again, is never something we love to talk about, but it's important we do. So, let's look at this tonight. Matthew chapter number 23. Look with me in verse number 23. And it says this, the Lord speaking here in Matthew 23 and verse number 23. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. The Lord spoke about tithing twice. In his ministry here, this same passage is repeated in the book of Luke, but also the only other mention is in Luke chapter 18, verse number 12, and talking about a Pharisee that was bragging about himself and bragging that he tithed amongst many other things. He said, well, if the Lord didn't mention a whole lot, does that mean that it's something that he still desires? Absolutely. Here he commended it and said it was right to do. In the epistles, as we are given instruction for the local church, you'll see tithing spoken of quite a bit. This is not new. I know if you've been around church, you've heard this statement. But for those who maybe haven't been here that long, just run through this quick outline. Abraham commenced it in Genesis chapter number 14 with King Melchizedek. He began to tithe. We just looked last Sunday night that Jacob continued it. In Genesis chapter 28, after his encounter with the Lord there at Bethel, he gave a tithe, a tenth to the Lord. Moses confirmed it in Leviticus chapter number 27. And then Malachi in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10 commanded it to bring all the tithes into the storehouse. God commissioned it or ordained it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 verse 14. Paul conformed it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. How did he conform it? That it was to be brought on the first day of the week. Jesus here in Matthew 23:23 commended it. So, again, I'm going to speak on this topic tonight as if we've never heard it before. All right? Some of these things, you're going to say, oh, I know these things. Well, amen. Some of these things, though, I want our 7- and 8-year-olds to listen. And listen tonight. Some of our teenagers to listen. Amen. Our young families just getting started and married, and God expects you to tithe. And you're going to find yourself in terrible straits if you rob God. And you say, well, you're not rich. I'm not, but God has taken care of me every step along the way, and I've never had a need that God hasn't come through. He's just a great and a wonderful God, all right? And God always meets the need of those who are faithful to Him. So give me just a few minutes. Number one, I want you to consider the description of tithing. a description of tithing. It says, again, for ye pay tithe. Well, what is tithe? Let's describe it real quick. What is tithe? Well, simply stated, tithing is a tenth. Now, I'll give you the biblical reason why we know this. It's not something we've made up. If you want to look at it real quick with me, Genesis chapter number 14, and we'll eventually go right back to Matthew, but Genesis chapter number 14, and in verse number 20, and then we'll glance over at Hebrews chapter number 7. All right, how do we know it is a tenth? All right, it says in Genesis chapter 14, again, best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. All right. Genesis chapter number 14 and in verse number 20 simply says, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he, Abraham, gave him tithes of all." All right, so he gave tithes, Abraham did. If you look in Hebrews chapter number 7 and in verse number 2, talking about this very same encounter, this very same thing, and Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 2, verse 1, we're introduced again. This is talking about Melchizedek and Abraham's encounter with him. Verse number 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. See how the words are interchanged? He gave a tithe in Genesis. He gave a tenth in Hebrews. Those are not contradictory. A tithe means a tenth. It's really simple. I'm glad. You know, I'm very thankful. I'm just talking, just Travis Burke here, right? I'm thankful God, you know, made that a tenth. Because I don't care how, you know, mathematically challenged you may be. You can handle this. I teach math in our school. There are some mathematically challenged students that have passed through our school. Amen, Matthew. But anyone can figure out the tithe. Remove a zero or move that decimal point over, right? And if you get $500, $50 tithe. If you get a dollar, 10 cent tithe. We can handle that. Amen? And so it is a tenth. What is tithe? The description of a tithe, it is a tenth. The principle of tithing, in Psalm chapter, I'll just read one verse here. If you want to write down Haggai chapter 2 and verse number 8. But in Psalm chapter 24 and verse number 1, here's a good principle for tithing, and this will help you. All right, Psalm chapter 24 and verse number 1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." What does that mean? Everything belongs to God. We are just stewards of these things. You know, I always give the illustration. One time, Grace, she was going out with some of her friends. This is years ago. But she was like 13 or so. And they were going to stop at Starbucks and get a drink. And I gave her a $20 bill, because that's all they had. And when she came back, she gave me 20 cents or something like that back. I said, "What kind of drink did you get?" She said, "Oh, I bought other people's drinks, Dad." I was like, "Why?" And her answer, "Wasn't my money." True statement, right? You know, wasn't her money, right? You know, it's Dad's money. It's easier to give when it's not yours, right? Everything that you have belongs to God. Everything that you are belongs to God. This principle of tithing, all I have is because of God. I encourage you to write down the passage, Deuteronomy chapter number 8 and verse number 18. Deuteronomy, read that to you real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse number 18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he," listen to this, "that giveth thee power to get wealth." So I earned this money only because God gave you the strength to earn that money. You know, I've made this for myself only because God gave you the ability to do these things. All right? So all I have is because of God. Everything I have is belongs to God, and anything that I do have is because of God. How should I give? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14, you should give out of a love for God. The Bible says in that passage, "The love of Christ constraineth me." All right? Why should I give? Because I love Him. That's why I ought to give. Because you love the Lord. And then why else should I give? I should give because I want to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7. The Lord loveth a what? Cheerful giver. You should give because you want to, because you love to. I have no problem giving a gift to my wife or doing something special for my wife or my children because I love them and I find joy in giving them because I love them. And that's the way we ought to give every week. And, you know, we have still left our offering plate back in the back. You say, you're going to start passing them around again? It's going great so far. Our offerings went up when we put that offering plate back there, so... You know, if offerings go up because we put it on the roof, we'll put it on the roof, all right? But no, I'm just kidding. But it's simple, all right? Everybody walks that way, and it's kind of follows a biblical pattern too. But give as you love God and cheerfully. Where should I give? According to Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. To the storehouse. If you want to look at this verse with me, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, and in verse number 2, again, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in verse number 2, Paul says, this is where he conformed our tithing, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Now, if you keep reading the chapter, the in store there is referring to your local church. Your tithe goes to your local church. Not to a TV preacher, not to a radio preacher. You say, oh, I want to give. I found this really good independent Baptist on the radio. Amen. If you want to give them an offering, but that's not your tithe. Your tithe goes to your local church, all right? So we give that way. And look back in Acts chapter number 4 real quick. Acts chapter number 4. As we give to the local church, I want you to see this. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 35, you can find the same thing in Acts chapter number 5. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 35, it says, when they came and gave, it says, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he hath need. Now, this giving, again, we should give to the storehouse, which is the local church. And then it says here, you see, what does that mean? The apostles' feet. I want you to notice something that they gave here, and really there was two attributes, if you want, or associations with this giving, is that I believe that, number one, there was an accountability there. You know, some people I've heard some say, you know, well, just give it to the pastors and don't worry about it. I don't see that in that verse because it says distribution was made unto every man according as he hath need. There was a knowledge of where the money went. It was went to where everybody had need. So the money was given appropriately. I want you to notice that when it was given at the apostles' feet, it benefited the entire church. All right? That's why we give. You're not giving just to line the pockets of a pastor. Nope, 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 nope. And if a pastor ever says that, he shouldn't be a pastor, right? There's no business that's greedy of filthy lucre, the Bible says. But they gave it, but notice there's also a trust issue here. Because the pastors would know the needs more intimately than anyone else. So they're going to know the direction where the funds need to go to best meet the needs. So I see accountability here. The distribution was made and it was reported, but also a trust issue here that, you know, you trust the pastor to be able to distribute the funds. And again, you say, what do we do at church? Every penny that's spent is a financial report that we pass out at the end of the month to see where everything goes. There's the accountability. There's a trust issue in saying that, you know, why was this much spent this month in this area? Well, that's what the Lord led us. It's budgeted. That's where we're heading. And, you know, there should be. If you can trust your pastor with your eternal soul, we should be able to trust him with a dollar. Now, again, a pastor should be wise to be accountable. And that's why we have our financial reports. That's why we have. And the whole idea of what we're saying here is that you work together. We love each other, we work together, and we hold each other accountable. I'm preaching on tithing. You look at the financial report, make sure it's spent, all right? And see where this goes. But again, he says, you know, there was a check written in benevolence to someone who had a need. Trust your pastor. You know, one missionary, and I'll just say this real quick, it's probably another topic. Say, well, one missionary came in, and so much was written as a check, 2 weeks later, another missionary came in and he was given more or less. A lot of times the pastor is going to be, he'll pray about it, he'll seek the Lord. Sometimes there's a special need there that the pastor may know about. And the pastor should have liberty to meet that special need. He's not putting nothing in his pockets, but he's doing as the Lord told him to do, to be a blessing to others. And so there's an accountability and there's a trust there, and that the two should work together. All right, so we bring it to the storehouse, the apostles' feet, and the whole church benefits from it. All right, but why also do we give to the church? Because according to Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10, so that there might be meat in mine house. What does that mean? That means that the needs of the church are met through the giving, that the ministry of the church and the ministries that we have, is the needs are being met, and the minister. The pastors are taken care of through the tithes and offerings. Paul talked about that a lot, but that's why we tithe, all right? So what is the tithe? It's the tenth, the principle of tithing. Everything belongs to God. All I have is because of God. Anything I get is because He's strengthening me. How should I give? Out of a love for God with a cheerful heart. Where do we give? To the storehouse. We lay at the apostles' feet, and it is the local church, and so that God will take care of the temple itself, the ministry, and the ministers. So that is the description of a tithe. Look back in our text in Matthew 23, verse number 23. And now let's break this verse further down in the Lord's words here. Secondly, I want you to consider the danger with tithing. Danger with tithing. So you say, what do you mean a danger with tithing? Well, how does this verse start? First word is what? Whoa. That's a caution, a warning here. Woe. What's the warning? Who's it directed to? Scribes, Pharisees, but the word is hypocrites. The dangerous tithing is this, that if we're not careful in our tithing, we can become focused on ourself. Ironically, as the Lord rebukes these hypocrites, and the message for us is it's possible to give to God to promote ourself. That's being a hypocrite. That's what the other reference is from, when the Pharisee was standing there bragging about the fact, I tithe, I do this. And the Lord said, that is a great danger. Focused on ourself. We do not give. By the way, your pastor tithes. I haven't mentioned that. I told you I hold everybody else accountable. Travis Burke tithes. And Travis Burke gives the missions. And Travis Burke does, you know, what the Lord tells him to do. But there's no exemptions. All of us as believers give our tithes and offerings. But what can happen is this. People can give and they become focused on themselves. And it's hypocritical giving. So what are they trying to do? How does that show itself? Some give in order to maybe earn more love. Maybe they're trying to earn love from God, so they're tithing. Some earn love from pastor or treasurer or whatever the case is. I've been in church a lot of years. I've seen a whole lot of illustrations. We'll just keep going, all right? But people can give for the wrong reason, out of a desire to, for themselves, to earn some love or to earn some respect. You ever heard this phrase? I'm one of the biggest givers. Should never matter. It's equal sacrifice. It's not a matter of earning some respect. It's not about earning power. I'll say this from the pulpit, the biggest giver has no special treatment over the one that gives the least. As long as we're all being faithful to what God has given us. We don't give to become powerful. Have you seen it in churches? Yeah, I have, unfortunately. I'm thankful I haven't seen that much here. Praise the Lord for that. But I've been around enough, several different states, to see for some reason some people to think they give a little bit more, that they should have more sway and power. We don't give for that reason. That's hypocritical giving. If we're giving to promote ourselves, which is what he was warning about here, that's not true biblical giving. So we don't want to be focused on ourselves. Secondly, we don't want to, in our danger of giving, is becoming finicky with the cents. C-E-N-T-S, right? Finicky. Look what they were tithing there. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint, and anise, and cumin. What are those? They're herbs, they're spices. If I give you an illustration, a little easier to kind of probably comprehend for Travis Burke, so maybe you too. You know, if I got a kernel of corn, and there was 800 kernels of corn, which is the average kernels on a corn, and 800 of those, then I would take 80 of those kernels off as a tithe. You say, well, you know, well, what is that all about? They were doing far more intricate than that. And they were focused on these little things. And again, I think we ought to give according to the first fruits of our increase. All right? And I'm not saying anything is too small to tithe on. But they were focused, and this is what I'm talking about, if you have to use a calculator and go to the 100 spot to figure out your tithe, you're missing the point. We give because we want to give. We give because we love the Lord. We have to be careful with that. When we give according to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9, we give according to our first fruits. What that means that we give according to what our check is before taxes, before deductions. It's our first fruits. You say, should I tithe if I, you know, take out a loan? These are real questions, right? If you are increasing, you should tithe. You know, I sold a car. Should I tithe on that? If you're putting that money in your pocket, you should tithe. So I would like to argue that. Okay, but I know this, that in my heart, what's more important than anything is I know I'm right with God. Nothing else really matters. So I should want to give accordingly, but give of the first fruits, all right? Before the taxes, before the deduction. Again, nobody's checking. You say, well, I'm not doing that. Okay. You know, not going to be looking at any giving statements. But the point is this, you should just want to give liberally to God because God has been liberal to us. And he loves a cheerful giver. So don't be focused on yourself. Don't be finicky with the sense. And don't forget the significant. Don't forget the significant. What did he say in this verse? It says there you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And give you an illustration, and almost directly quoted, if you want to turn back a few pages to the book of Micah, all right, should just beginning of Matthew and go back probably 5 or 6 pages, all right? Micah chapter number 6. Look at verse number 7. Micah chapter 6, verse number 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn of my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord thy God? Again, these very same things, the weightier matters of the law. Again, you notice in verse number 8, what is good? What the law says is good. To do justly, judgment. To love mercy, to show mercy to others. To walk humbly with the Lord thy God, faith. Again, is it right for the Jews then to give these sacrifices? Sure. Absolutely, they were supposed to do that. But be careful, and let me explain it, 2022 New Testament. If you tithe, but you skip church, your tithing is not covering your missing church. You say, well, I tithe. If you're not faithful to the house of God, tithing's important. It's right to do. But you're omitting the weightier matters. You're not following what is good. If you tithe, but you don't go soul winning, If you tithe, but you can't ever hand out a tract, and you've never told anyone about the Lord? Not as many amens now, right? You're omitting. Should you tithe? Absolutely. If you don't tithe, is it a sin? Yes. Now, you know better now, so no excuses. But don't be proud of ourselves and pat ourselves on the back because we tithe if we have no heart and burden for souls. That is not doing good. That is not just. If we tithe, but we're bitter at another church member and we refuse to forgive them, your tithing isn't covering that transgression. You need to forgive them and show mercy. If you tithe, but you're full of anxiety and you don't trust the Lord in other areas of your life, you have a lack of faith. I'm not saying not to tithe. I'm just saying don't get proud of ourselves for tithing and forget the weightier matters. Now, that's not a Travis Burke opinion. That is what the Bible says. Jesus said those words. So you see here the danger with tithing. Thirdly, and we're done, the duty of tithing. Notice back in our text, it says this. Talking about these things, Jesus said these words about tithing. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. These ought ye to have done. Leviticus chapter number 27 and verse number 30 says the tithe is the Lord's. Listen to me. Jesus here commended it. It's right to tithe. I don't have time to go through this whole passage. I want to close. But in Malachi chapter 3, if we choose not to tithe, listen to me, according to Malachi chapter 3, read verse 8 down to verse number 12. But if you choose not to tithe, you're attempting to rob God. Now, it's kind of a rhetorical question. Will a man rob God? You may think you get away with it, but you're never going to with God. But understand, that's what you're doing. If you get paid this week and you decide purposely not to tithe, you're a thief. You're a thief. Say, but you're a thief. But my bills, you're a thief. You say, I won't be able to meet my bills if I start tithing. I'm going to say, from observing lives in church, that's probably true. Because you can't, that's what sin does. And not tithing is a sin. There are always repercussions to sin. But I will tell you this as a follow-up. I have seen people struggle who have not tithed and they decide to, and they have more bills than they have money. But if they stay faithful to God, God always does amazing things. So if you don't tithe and you choose not to, you're robbing God. And according to Malachi 3, verse number 9, you're cursing yourself. Those who try and attempt to rob God are bringing a curse upon their life. I'm not going to go into detail about that other than this. Who wants God's cursing upon their life? That would be a fool. You're robbing God, you're bringing a curse upon yourself, and listen to me, you're hurting your church. Say, yes, my church is dependent upon my tithe. No. God will always meet his needs. But listen to what it says there when talking to Israel, and obviously this passage is applied to us in our New Testament with our local church giving, but it says there, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. All of Israel suffered because of this sin. And I believe that churches will many times struggle. There may be many that are faithful and giving, but if there are quite a few of those that are robbing God, they're causing a curse upon their own life, and they're also hindering the work of the church. I have no idea the percentage of members that tithe, because at a Baptist temple, I can tell you this, that if 100% of the members tithe at Kazata Baptist Temple, there would never be a need that would not be easily met. So, if you're not choosing to tithe, you're robbing God, you're cursing yourself, you're hurting your church, and you're giving place to the devourer. Verse number 11 in Malachi 3 says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." Just watch, because they always tell on themselves on Facebook. Now, bad things happen to people that tithe too. Has your car ever broke down? Yes. Has your washing machine gone out? Yes. Has your refrigerator quit running? Yes. That's called life. But you'll find it in those who never can tithe, and they always are struggling in other areas of their life, and they're not being honest with God, and then they always love to share, "Nothing ever goes right for me." You ever heard that? Oh yeah. "Seems like everything's against me." So why would someone say that? Because it is. A mower quit. A dog needs all this veterinarian help. My washing machine quit. And it won't stop, and it keeps happening. Well, there's guarantee a reason. You say, "Well, I'm being faithful to God." Then you have no guilt in. "Has bad things ever happened to me?" Yeah. But look at me, and I don't mean this in a prideful way. Thank my parents and God. But when my furnace went out, my car quit running, I never once had to ask, "Am I robbing God?" And I'm thankful for that. I knew in every occasion it was just life. I'm a father of three. I've never chastened my children that they did not know why they were being chastened. And God's a whole lot better father than I will ever be. And if He ever chastens His children, you'll know why you're being chastened. So to rebuke the devourer, if you do choose to obey, then understand this, you're obeying God and you're honoring our Lord and Savior. If you do choose to obey, you're being a blessing to yourself. You're only asking and open the door that the windows of heaven might be open. That's what the Bible says. If you do choose to obey, you're being a blessing to your church. And ultimately, if you choose to obey, you're giving God another opportunity to receive the glory and the honor through your life. Tithe. It's right.